This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Draven Fine, Cam's running a little behind as we come in on this Thursday. What day is it? September 22nd?
23rd? 23rd. 23rd. Already, man.
September 23rd. Already.
Woo.
How are you today, Draven?
Doing fantastic. How about this weather, John? How about this weather? My goodness. Woke up, walked outside, just screams fall. Smells like, tastes like, feels like fall. I love it. Let's go. This is my kind of weather right here.
May have overestimated how good it felt. I went with a long sleeve shirt today.
I did too.
A little hot outside for a long sleeve.
This morning
shirt.
It was chilly. It was cold. I left at like 9, around 9:30. It was pretty chilly outside. I was like, okay.
How were you doing? You didn't get here until 11:50, so like, what were you doing from 9 to 11:50?
Had to go get some hotcakes. There's not a lot of breakfast options around my place. There's not. Could go to like Cracker Barrel. That seems like too much work. None of these other fast food places have good breakfast. I don't see Arby's putting out good breakfast. I've heard Wendy's is decent. But I was like, you know what? I don't have anything to cook, so run out, go get some hotcakes again.
Wendy's breakfast is solid.
So I've heard. I've heard it's good.
You're not too far away from a Hardee's either.
Solid breakfast. Yeah, Hardee's isn't bad. A little overhyped.
I don't blame you just for going to get the hotcakes. Do what you gotta do.
How you doing today?
Nothing really to report here. Like I said, it feels like fall. It looked like fall, so I put on a long sleeve shirt. Now I'm a little bit hot in the studio, but otherwise, yeah. Good to go. Nothing really to report. Just a lot of reality TV last night.
How was that? How can you watch it, man?
4 hours.
How can you?
2 hours of Survivor, 1 hour of Big Brother, 1 hour of The Challenge. I was exhausted.
Oh, God. It's like all the same. It's literally all the same.
Well, I wouldn't call it the same. Those three shows are pretty different, but either way.
A lot of similarities. Reality TV is all the same.
I don't know if I agree with that either. But Cam, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Doing good.
We missed our introductions, but we're fine.
I heard reality TV and I was just yeah. But no, I'm good. I'm good. Just casual Thursday, you know. Ready to get the football weekend started.
Is today casual Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Today's casual Thursday?
Yeah, casual Thursday. Just Kay. Normal Thursday. Nothing too crazy going on. At least that I know of. If y'all know something is going on, let me know. I want to be in the know, but...
We're loaded with sports today. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Cam? We got the Ryder Cup getting started today.
Yeah.
We got Thursday night football. College football on tonight as well. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
We're locked and loaded, baby.
So the Ryder Cup starts today. Are you sure? I thought it started tomorrow.
I thought it started today.
I mean, it might. It's 3 days. I assumed it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but are they not trying to go up against the NFL? Is that what they're doing? Are they doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead?
It says September 23rd through the 25th, which is today.
Where do you see that at? Because I see 24th through 26th.
Okay. All right. This isn't necessarily my fault. I'll blame this on the internet. It says September 23rd, Friday.
Oh.
Today is the 23rd.
What website is that?
It's just on the, you know, just when you look up the Ryder Cup, the main front page, the PGA season, blah, blah, blah. Well, so I guess you're right. It does start tomorrow.
Okay,
but it does say September 23rd.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe they were just trying to do, I mean, it might have been smarter to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday and avoid the
I would be smarter,
NFL Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess they're thinking, hey, you'll be at home watching football. Maybe you'll flip over and we can get some of those viewers. Although, like I said, I would rather had it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got me excited when you said it was today.
I know.
Jeez.
Now I'm disappointed because you lied to me.
The internet lied to you. Again, it says right here in my face, September 23rd through the 25th. Maybe that was last year. I don't know. We still got Thursday Night Football.
Davis Mills.
Go. Come on. Let's go.
Rookies. Yeah. Sam Darnold. Woohoo.
I actually am interested in watching Sam Darnold play.
Have you got to really watch him much through his first 2 weeks?
Nah, I mean, every time I flipped over in the Saints game last week, it was, or I guess the Red Zone flipped over, although it was the local channel. It was the local Fox game.
Oh, was it? Huh.
Yeah. Every time I flipped over, it was like New Orleans had the ball and was getting ready to punt, and then I would flip it back over to something else. Like, I never really got to watch them play.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, McCaffrey's run to, like, the goal line where he got in, and they reviewed it forever because we have to review everything. Even in blowout games, so I didn't watch a lot of them. So I'm happy to get to focus in. His numbers look pretty good the first two games.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah,
compared to his numbers with the Jets, it's not even close.
I believe he is the highest rated passer from his draft class, the 2018 draft class. Jeez. With all those studs. He's so far having the best year of all of them statistically. Okay. You know, wow. Baker, Allen, Lamar, Rosen.
You really throwing Rosen's name in there?
I'm just throwing in everybody got drafted in the first round. Which made me think, I mean, you know, it was a pretty good trade by Carolina to buy low on him when they did, because you know, we saw again what happened with Tannehill in Miami. We've seen a couple of the skill players also leave and be good. So why not roll the dice on Darnold and see if you can find a top five talent, which he was a top five talent. See if you can get him for the cheap and find a franchise quarterback without having to tank. So
yeah, and they thought they were going to trade for Watson, too. So they were just like, hey, like, worst case.
Sure.
You got this guy as well, but.
So, you know, through two games, averaging basically 290-ish yards per game. Three touchdowns, one interception, a passer rating over 100. So,
sheesh.
So far, so good. And the Saints defense is pretty good. Who they play week one? Jets. I don't know. Although the Jets defense didn't look bad against the Patriots. Now, granted, Patriots still kind of have the training wheels on Mac Jones, and maybe they keep him on Mac Jones because he's throwing the ball, I think, 3 yards down the field on average. Like, he is.
That checks out.
He is just doing the dink and dunk that Cam was doing or trying to do last year, except Cam wasn't accurate enough. Jones has at least been pretty accurate in doing it, but they haven't asked him to throw the ball down the field. But the Jets' defense looked pretty good the first 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's defense is tops right now in the NFL.
And like everything. Rushing, passing, total points allowed. Like, they're dominating every category.
Yeah, and obviously people thought that wasn't going to be the case with the Saints game after, you know, what they did to the Green Bay, but.
We don't think this is legit from Carolina, though, right, in terms of being that good of a defense?
Not that good, but I think they're solid. I think they got a solid unit. Pass rush has been great. Like, they've been in everybody's backfield.
I want to say, like, 10 sacks through the first two games. Maybe nine or 10 sacks.
And the Saints have pretty much unanimously a top three offensive line. I mean, they got two all-pro tackles. So, I mean, the fact that they were creating havoc on that offensive line was pretty impressive. So, I mean, maybe they are legit. I just didn't think of them as the best defense. I thought maybe they'd settle in somewhere in, like, the 5-10 range. Although, I don't know.
But
It's almost as if somebody called this. Somebody said that Carolina was going to be a playoff team and said that they're going to be really good and talked about this young and exciting defense. And it's like you guys kind of just brush it off. Who was that? Who was it that said it? Was it Hayden?
You're like 1-6.
No, it wasn't Hayden. Who was it?
So far, that's the only thing. That's the only thing you hang your hat on.
Oh, and the fact that I've dominated NFL picks through the first 2 weeks.
I didn't hear much chest thumping about the Ravens falling apart whenever they beat the Chiefs. I didn't hear much of that on Monday. But yes, your Panthers are still holding on strong. And the good news is
3-0.
And the good news is they should be able to do it another week. And, you know, I'm not rooting against the Panthers. I hope they are a playoff team. They got some likable players. I'm rooting for Sam Darnold. I don't know if you guys are rooting for Sam Darnold, but I'm rooting for Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
I am not.
Absolutely.
You're not just because he's on the Panthers and like you think that's a team that's going to take a playoff spot from the 5-12 Falcons?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I know you like Christian McCaffrey.
That's 9-8 Falcons. Thank you very much.
It's the 0-2 Falcons headed for 0-3 Falcons is what it is.
0-3. Jeez Louise. If we lose to Daniel Jones, y'all may not see me on Monday.
Will that be enough? Is that
I
it?
Say that.
If
don't
they lose,
say that, Cam.
If they lose the Giants, will you be done finally? Will you quit? Will you stop?
It'll be close.
Because I don't want to have to root for the Giants, but I will if I have to. Will you stop?
maybe what breaks the camel's back right there.
So you will. You will stop rooting for the Falcons.
He won't. He's said this before. He'll come in Monday. Have a couple excuses.
You got to win this game.
I mean, last year that game was maybe the Bears game when Nick Foles came back from 17 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, God.
I just want to know, like, will that one be enough? If the Giants... Or is it going to be, well, the Giants had extra days of rest. You know, they put on Thursday. They had some extra days.
Exactly. You'll hear them.
You know, back to back, they're just schedule makers just conspiring against us, you know, but it's whatever.
I'm rooting for the Panthers. Like I said, I like their coach. I like Matt Rhule. Seems like he's just a really, really good person. Joe Brady seems to be doing good with that offense. We'll see. You know, he's going to be a hot name in coaching circles, either professionally or college. You know, if Ed Orgeron gets fired, I'd imagine Joe Brady gets called.
I don't know. I feel like once you get in the NFL and have success like he has, like you're kind of striving for like an NFL head coaching job, right? You wouldn't want to go back to college in that situation.
I actually have a friend who played college ball with him
and
knew him whenever I think he was it William and Mary?
William Mary, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and like has said that he like was to be in the pros and like his dump college. And like once he went to Carolina, that was kind of it. Because I know some people kind of had mentioned Joe Brady whenever Tennessee was looking for a coach last year. You know, when they hired Heupel, or I guess earlier this year. And it was just like, nah, he's not coming back to the college. Now, maybe if LSU called, you know, somewhere where he won a national championship and, you know, could maybe not have to go out and recruit because it kind of recruits itself. If you just get some good staff. But I feel like once you're established as an OC in the NFL, at that age, you just want to stay.
Absolutely.
You only go back to college if you're down bad, like Harbaugh. That's the only time NFL coaches usually go back to college is when they can't succeed in the NFL or get fired or whatever. Usually just don't take that step down from OC to
college head coach. It's like if you're like a
manager
at like a real job and then like you're not doing great, but you're like, I could just backtrack to this place and just get a normal job and be fine. But
how do you think Urban Meyer felt yesterday? Do you see what Vic Fangio did to him?
Oh, no.
Do you guys see this?
I did not.
Well, the Jaguars and Broncos played last week.
Yep.
And Vic Fangio was up there doing his press conference. I guess I don't know why they were still talking about Jacksonville. But he revealed that Urban Meyer told him that in the NFL, every week is like you're playing Alabama.
I did see this.
And I just wonder, like, Urban's like, come on, man, like, I told you that in confidence. Like, they're already thinking I'm trying to go back home or trying to go back to college because this is too tough for me. And now you're going to tell everybody that I said this, which makes me look like, again, I'm getting closer and closer to quitting because it's too tough. That every week in the NFL feels like Alabama.
Who knew?
Wow.
It's almost like that was a step up in competition.
I don't know if I would go that far if I'm Urban Meyer, but, like, I guess if you are Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything probably does feel like Alabama in the sense of, like, you're overmatched. Like, every team you're going up against, if you're Jacksonville, is going to have more talent than you.
Well, I was literally about to say, I mean, Houston and Denver, those are your Alabama's way till he plays. Tennessee in the division. Yeah, I was going to say the Chiefs. Well, I just didn't know for sure if they played a real contender, Kansas City.
I mean, it will feel like Alabama when he sees, like, you know, A.J. Brown and Julio and Derrick Henry. He's like, this is SEC, like, all, you know, an all-SEC team out here.
Right.
But if you're Jacksonville, you're like, come on, man. If you're Urban Meyer, you're like, Vic, come on. I told you that in confidence. I told you that in confidence. And you went and told everybody that I said that? Which, again, like you said, Draven, it's the Houston Texans who really, you know, have some decent veterans, but for the most part, devoid of real talent. And it's the Denver Broncos who have a good defense and I guess some good offensive players, but are really just trying to patch it together. You haven't played any good teams yet. But I guess if you're Ohio State, that's the only team you ever played if you're Urban Meyer. Or if you're Florida, that's really the only team you ever played that had more talent than you. It's Alabama. So I guess it checks out that every team has more talent than you, so it feels like you're playing Alabama.
If you were a betting man, do you really think Urban's going to make it another year? Is he going to be coaching the Jags in 2022?
I don't think so. I got it like a 50-50 proposition, but I would take the no. If you said 2 years from now, if he's coaching in 2023, I say it's like 75-25. No.
Yeah, no shot.
I mean, it's just, you know, the reports we've seen him about him not being able to handle losing in the preseason. Like, they're going to lose a lot of games this year. In college, he's never really had to worry about that. In the 1 year that they did lose a bunch of games, he quit at Florida whenever they went 8-5. He's like, all right, I'm good. I'm out of here. Forget that.
But he's also basically running the show. I feel like he would have kind of like a John Gruden situation. You have, what, 3, 4, 5 years to kind of do whatever you want?
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
at
really
least like 2 or 3 years to be really bad and start to try to turn the corner
something. No. I don't think they would fire him.
No.
I think he would just get tired of it and he has no one else to blame. Especially, like, if the pressure ramps up over there, because I think I saw that, was it 36% of his throws? 31%? Somewhere in the 30s. It's the highest in the NFL. I think it was 36% so far of Trevor Lawrence throws have been deemed uncatchable, which is the worst in the NFL.
Wow. Even worse than Zach Wilson?
Yep. So, like, maybe if that keeps up in Jacksonville and Urban doesn't have anyone else to blame, maybe there will be some heat on him and he'll get mad at the fans and the locker room loses him. So, yeah, I say it's 50-50, and I'm taking no that he'll be there in 2022. We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. White Claw is made with a unique brew pure process. It's made with a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavors. Only 100 calories, 5% alcohol, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Drink some White Claw, but drink it responsibly. Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Colts week. Start with an update that we got from today. Brett Hundley?
Is still in the league?
Well, kind of. He's on the practice squad, and apparently the Colts are giving him first-team reps in practice this week.
Why?
Because they realized Jacob Eason, well, he sucks.
They're just now realizing that.
What happened
They're
to Ellinger?
Just now realizing he's hurt. Yeah, he's out I think he's out for the season.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Brent Hundley
as our
stepping
resident,
up to the plate.
As our resident Colts believer, Draven Fine, how are you feeling?
Hey, Colts believer. I don't
Colts
know about
Colts believer. You picked them in the division. You said they were going to be better than the Titans.
I think I picked the Titans win the division after Carson Wentz's injuries, but okay.
I think before the year you were talking about.
Yeah, Carson Wentz stayed healthy, and he can't stay healthy.
I mean,
surprise,
like
shocker.
If a leprechaun came and brought me a pot of gold, I'd buy you a soda at the fountain.
Good thing you say he's not injury prone, Draven.
Good point. Two sprained ankles. Huh? I mean, this is all Frank Reich, the management over there. I mean, Ballard, all those. Like, you can't go sign Cam Newton. Go do something. Like, this team's done. They're dead in the water. They're already 0-2. They're going to be 0-3 after this. A division loss too. Bottom of the AFC. Like, you got to make a move, man. Well, they're just going to sit here and wait around for these two quarterbacks to completely take the season and just hope and pray Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt again? Like, what a disaster.
So you agree that Carson Wentz is an injury concern for the rest of the year?
Yeah. He's got two sprained ankles. So, I think that's pretty fair to say.
Okay,
Cam,
what do we weigh more in terms of the scale? Let's put our M&Ms on the scale. Draven, Panthers 2-0. He told us. Young defensive players or Carson Wentz, not injury prone. You can rely on him. The Colts are going to be better than the Titans. Which one do we give more credit to?
I'm going to go with the one that has two predictions in it.
Okay.
And then lean the Colts way.
Okay. Just checking because we got our football NFL expert over here that, you know, is really happy about his Panthers. But I'm wondering if the Colts and Carson Wentz take is worse than that.
I think so. Because I think everybody in the world knew that Carson Wentz was injury prone.
Except Chris Ballard and Draven Fine.
So two people on the planet.
Most Colts fans were in denial about it too.
Yeah, but they knew in the back of their minds.
They knew.
They did. They were just trying to speak it out of existence. But
yeah. Would you agree that probably outweighs the Panthers?
I don't think that necessarily outweighs it.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
Also, you got to throw in my NFL picks, beating you guys pretty handedly in that.
Through 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Two of what? 21 weeks.
Don't worry, we'll catch you. Don't worry.
Just saying.
I'm just feeling it out at the beginning.
Can't predict injuries. Can't predict
it's
injuries.
Carson Wentz.
And also, it's not like Carson Wentz is just taking little tiny hits like Romo was or landing on his shoulder funny and breaking his collarbone every time. Like, the play was pretty ugly. It's like he didn't break his leg. Did you see the play where he gets twisted up like a pretzel?
Did you see
his ankle was almost touching his ear at one point.
Did you see the play?
Yes, I did.
Do you think Carson Wentz held onto the ball too long?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
So he could have avoided
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
You can't predict injuries.
Maybe.
I haven't seen Jalen Hurts get sacked very often so far this year.
Throwing it 19 times a game.
I did see a recent study today that kind of shows that over time, it's weird, but the quarterbacks that change teams, like pretty much to a T, keep their same level of pressure. Like the pressure
I
they
saw
receive.
That. Yeah.
Like if they change teams, if they're really good at getting the ball out quickly, it translates. Like, for instance, Tom Brady didn't take a lot of pressure in Tampa Bay. Didn't take a lot of pressure in New England. That matches up. Mm-hmm. Same for Peyton Manning and Denver and the Colts. Like, I don't know if it's just the pre-snap reads, the, basically like, hey, I'm not going to take any hits. I'm going to get the ball out fast. And on the flip side, if you receive pressure on one team and you go to a different team, you're going to receive pressure again. So, like, with Wentz, like, it's basically showing that, like, yeah, like, he's carried over the Eagles' quote-unquote problems to the Colts. There were all the numbers last year that showed the Colts and Eagles' offensive line were pretty similar. In terms of win block percentage, I think they were both 10-11, I think. It's not a surprise that they get there, and it's basically been the same.
It's a gift and a curse. He's really good at also evading a lot of defenders as well, but I think you are right. Sometimes he tries to hold on to the ball too much, try to make too much the play too many times. Probably also just the added pressure of the terrible year he had in Philly, trying to kind of be the superstar a little bit as well. So,
I would say it's kind of strange a little bit. Like, we acknowledged with, like, Cam Newton, for example, like, hey, his body's going to break down if he takes all these hits. With other running quarterbacks, usually the black ones, we say, like, hey, you can't sustain this level of punishment. And then with Carson Wentz, we're kind of like, ah, it'll be fine, just get him a new offensive line. Even though he's been, like, had the hell beat out of him for 3 years.
Yep.
Like, I do agree with you. Like, eventually, like, your body just starts breaking down and, like, it's a gift and a curse. And, his quote-unquote MVP season, it was working for a little bit. And then since then, like, he's just been beat to hell. It's not good to hold the ball forever. It catches up to you. So, Brett Hundley on Sunday, maybe in Nashville.
Brett Hundley. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Mercy.
You wouldn't call Cam Newton if you're the Colts?
Not right now. I mean,
what do you mean not right now? The season's
not gonna,
on
I mean,
the line.
I mean, if you're going to call him, you're going to.
I know, but I mean, you should have done it earlier in the week. I'm just saying, like, you might as well do it now. Go ahead and get the guy on the team anyways for the next week.
Could they have even brought Cam Newton in this week if they had hired him on Monday or signed him on Monday? Like, would he have passed, the COVID protocol since he's not vaccinated? Like, would he have had to have, some type of, waiting window? Because I know last year you did.
Yeah, I think it'd be similar to that, but yeah, I'm not sure exactly the time frame.
Cam's not getting signed.
But and try to learn an offense in 3 days of playing a game.
He's not
against
signed.
A division opponent.
I think it would be better
to
have Cam Newton with half the playbook than Brent Hundley. Who, by the way, didn't he just get signed to the practice squad too? He's just learning the playbook as well.
No, if he's on the practice squad, he's had the playbook.
I wonder if he's also got some relationship with the coaches somewhere down the line if he's been on anywhere with any of the coaches.
Yeah.
If anything, I wonder if they are kicking the tires on Phil Rivers. If they've at least hit the line, like, hey, you up?
Hey, you want to skip the rest of your high school season?
The problem is Carson's, week to week, so you can't bring in another guy to start if Carson Wentz is going to be healthy next week or maybe even playing on Sunday.
It's
we'll see.
It's a weird situation,
I saw Schefter said it was more likely than not that he will be out of the game on Sunday, which is, I guess, why Brett Hundley's getting all the first-team reps. Speaking of quarterback situation, we had head coach Josh Heupel speak somewhat about his quarterback situation. We'll dive into that next as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We are 2 days away from the balls going down to the swamp. That line keeps coming down, boys.
Uh-oh.
We're getting into it. Uh-oh. Not going to lie.
Balls are covering, boys.
Oh,
lock
God.
It in.
What is today? Thursday? So, okay. Yeah, I get what's happening. So it's at that point where we're all trying to convince ourselves that Tennessee can win the game. That's where every UT fan listening, sitting there,
whatever. Feeling good with the line dropping.
Please note on Monday I said it was going to be a one-score game.
Yeah, I agree, but there's a lot of people trying to convince themselves that we can actually win this game, that we're going to pull off this upset.
I saw gambling expert Todd Furman go on the radio in Nashville and say the same thing. So it was going to be a one-score game in the fourth.
Todd from Lock It In?
Yep.
I trust Todd.
I know. Said it was going to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Okay. That makes me feel
just
a little bit better.
Falcons versus Tampa Bay.
It was a one-score game. I mean, it was. You said you felt good about it.
Yeah.
Now, if like Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker throw two pick sixes and the Vols end up losing by 23, I don't know if like other Tennessee fans will come in here saying they're feeling good about it, but you did, so Cam, that's all you need, apparently.
I'm in. Oh, I'm completely in.
Line keeps coming down.
I bought another banana suit.
I saw that. For what purpose?
I don't know yet. People kept telling me, you should bring the banana suit back. And I was like,
who are people?
For what? People kept tweeting.
How many people?
A few. And
that's all it took? Was like two people saying, hey, where's the banana suit?
I was at Chili's. They caught me in a vulnerable moment.
Maybe they made just the Abby, like put the Abby back up, bro.
Maybe. But they caught me in a vulnerable moment.
Too late. He already bought the whole suit.
And I was like, you know what? Why not? Full send.
So what are you going to do with it?
I don't know.
Wear it in here.
I probably will wear it in here. I'll probably just wear it out about in the town.
For like Halloween?
Oh, Halloween is coming up.
That seems low for you.
That's not the costume I would wear in Halloween. Probably.
Which, by the way, we need to come together and like really, prepare for what we're going to wear on that Friday.
We need to have a theme. Ooh, yes. We need to have a group.
Right,
or
a group costume on that Friday before.
Yeah, we tried to do that last year. We never actually like followed through. Yeah.
We do a lot of stuff that we don't actually follow through.
You guys talk about a lot of stuff.
That's
a lot of talk around here.
Yep, that's true.
I'm ready whenever. We can go right now, buddy.
You got gloves? I don't think you want to go bare knuckle. These hands are calloused.
Got to do what I got to do, you know?
Did you see Canelo and Caleb Plant, by the way?
Yeah.
Did.
That seems problematic that Caleb Plant got his chin cut.
Yeah.
Or his cheek cut, I mean.
Oh, did he get cut?
Yeah.
Because he had glasses on. Like, he got hit, the glasses, cut his cheek. That seems problematic for a big boxing match. If you're already cut, it seems like, a couple bad, a couple rounds of Canelo hitting him in that could, really swell that eye up.
Mm-hmm.
Canelo claimed that Caleb Plant was talking about his mama. To which Caleb Plant came out and was like, why would I talk about your mom? My mom just got killed by the cops 2 years ago, and
yikes.
I don't want to talk about anybody's mom. And I was like, whoa, your mom got killed by the cops 2 years ago? I didn't know that. But he's like, why would I set myself up for the rebuttal of, at least my mom's didn't get killed by the cops?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
Nashville's own Caleb Plant. He landed. Everyone said he missed. He had the steel shot.
So I saw the video.
With the fingers on his hand.
So I saw the video. So who shoved who first? There was a shove,
Canelo,
and then there was a punch.
Plant first,
and then
Plant came back with a open hand smack.
And it looked like he swung. You sure?
No, it was open. He posted a picture because everyone said Canelo dodged it, and he posted a picture saying missed my ass, and it was like his face, or his palm all over Canelo's cheek.
Gotcha.
And then I think maybe Canelo came back, or his cronies came back with more. I don't know exactly what happened to end up with his cheek cut, but yeah, that's what happened. They were standing face to face. Canelo claims Caleb Plant said something about his mama, so he pushed him, and then Caleb came back with a open hand smack. Tried to do the whole what the five fingers say to the face, and connected. I don't know if you can punch in that situation. That seems like bad. I don't know if boxers can just be out punching people, anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. I feel like.
I mean, would you get, the whole, hands are registered as deadly weapons thing if you're fighting another boxer, though? If it's a...
Still,
it's somewhat unprovoked. It's not sanctioned. So, I don't know. So, I feel like you can't really bit their punches. So, you want the open hand smack. I would imagine Canelo would press
smack's
charges.
Pretty deadly, too, man.
It's not deadly.
I get a fist is a little bit stronger, but, man.
No, a lot stronger.
An open hand smack, man. You could make somebody's nose bleed.
I will let you open hand smack me in the face if I get to punch you with a closed fist.
100%, both of us? No.
They're close. You just said they're close. Let's do it. You can go first. Oh, they're not close at all? Okay, thank you.
I mean, I would say they're not close at all, but...
Have you ever seen the smacking competition?
Both are pretty violent. Both are pretty violent.
Well, I think one's more disrespectful, one's more violent is what I would... I think the idea, the intention of smacking someone is to... Well, either A, I don't want to sound sexist, but you don't want to punch somebody. You don't really neither know how to punch somebody, or you don't want to get charges for a fight, or you just want to
disrespect
them.
Yeah. It's disrespect.
Have you ever been in a real fight and slapped somebody? No one does that in a real fight.
Well, I was going to say, if somebody slaps me, though, we're fighting.
Sure. Right. But you're not gonna smack
I'm not going to be hey, that's some disrespect right there.
No, you're gonna
I'm going to start swinging some fists.
You're going to fight them because of the disrespect. It's a sign of aggression. I'm not saying it's not. If someone smacks you, it's probably going to lead to a fight.
Should.
But again, it's not as bad as a punch. You ever watch the Smack Championships?
Where they smack the hell out of them. Yeah.
Now, some of those are pretty good. And every now and then, there is a knockout if you hit them right in the right place on the chin.
Yeah,
there are some people that go down. But now, imagine they're doing that with just close fists, just ran back and punch each other in the face as hard as they can. They could go a little bit differently. Why were we talking about that? How did I start talking about
the Canelo boxing stuff?
Plant.
Cut his cheek. Yeah, but why was I talking about that?
And then he said he actually connected.
Yeah, but why did I start talking about the boxing in the first place? We're talking about quarterbacks for a second. The swamp.
I don't know. We got the banana soup and we got banana the boxing. Soup. I don't know what the correlation was.
You said you were at Chili's and then we talked about the banana suit.
Chili's.
Peer pressure.
Boxing.
Halloween. So we went to Halloween at some point. I still don't know how we got to boxing.
I don't either. We said group thing.
Group thing.
Halloween. Don't follow through. Ah, we don't follow through. Y'all haven't fought. You got the boxing.
Oh, there it is.
Good job by you, Cam.
Wow.
Good job by you.
Man.
That's how you retrace some steps right there. Cam never loses his keys.
Yeah.
He's always able to remember, I open the freezer up, pizza rolls, boom, they're in the freezer. Yeah.
I am good at tracking down my keys. They were in the bathroom floor this morning.
Came home at 2 o'clock from Chili's and... laid in the bathroom floor. There it is. Bathroom floor.
Keys.
Josh Heupel talked about his quarterback play on Saturday. Says they're still waiting on Joe Milton. And that right now, quote, we're not leaning toward playing two quarterbacks Saturday night at Florida.
Well, thank God. That's a great sign at least, right?
I guess.
Just one or the other. So Milton's still not healthy, basically, is what they're saying. Not 100%.
That's what it seems like.
I don't think I would actually mind a two quarterback system on Saturday.
I mean, Florida's
really
gonna be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, like it can work.
Yeah.
What? Florida's situation's a little bit different. They have somebody that's more of a conservative quarterback and somebody who's just kind of like an athletic freak. Like,
we've got two guys that we don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got just kind of two pretty average quarterbacks.
We got a guy that overthrows and a guy that underthrows.
Yeah. We play them together and it averages out, right? Is that how science works?
You throw them all together, you get Harrison Bailey who overthrows and underthrows. He does both.
And the run game randomly disappears.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind if you had Hooker coming in and running the ball more and like having a more of that kind of offense when he's in, and then you try to hit some deep balls with Milton. I mean, I would imagine that Florida's defense would know how to adjust for that, but.
Yeah.
Be pretty obvious. Be pretty obvious what we're doing.
I think it's pretty obvious when either quarterback's in anyways by themselves, so.
You might be right on that one.
Might as well try a couple different things. I know most people snarl their nose up at the two-quarterback system. I mean, it doesn't – like, there hasn't been anybody really win, like, championships doing it outside of, like,
Florida.
And I wouldn't even call that a two-quarterback system because it was really pretty much just, like, either Tebow's coming in for short yardage, like, or ramming it up the middle, or Chris Leak's going to play. But, yeah, they did ride it to a national championship.
Also, just a loaded team.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah,
you
sure,
know,
sure.
They could probably had a chance to do that just because they're so good.
Sure. But they needed Tebow. They wouldn't have won it without Tebow giving up some of those fourth and shorts.
Mm-hmm.
That was so, that felt so unstoppable whenever it happened. Just Tebow coming in and ram into the line for 2 yards. It seems like Heupel. Like, do we think that this is actually up in the air for him, or do you think it's just like, hey, I don't want to give Florida any advantage because I was secretive against Tennessee Tech as well. Like, I'm just going to be a secretive coach my whole time. Or do you think he's really hoping Joe Milton gets healthy and he can play him? Because otherwise, it seems like in a perfect world, wouldn't you, like, try to instill confidence into Hendon Hooker before the game and say he's our guy, he's earned it? Like, in a perfect world, like, wouldn't you want to pump this guy up before a road game?
Yeah, I feel like it's a little both of the I think Milton is still a little shaky on if he's gonna play or not, and I think Heupel also is like, yeah, that's still my guy, like I can teach him to not overthrow it or do this, do that, and that's still my guy, like I want him in there.
I mean, I don't think you would have to worry about losing Milton mentally if he didn't get the start on Saturday.
Yeah, you could just, like, honestly, it could be, like, one of those situations where you could just be like, oh, yeah, he's still a little banged up. We want him to be fully healthy. We're going to play Hooker. And then if Hooker looks terrible, then you have a really easy out to be like, oh, yeah, Milton's our guy still.
Right.
So,
like, I think
I think it is kind of also, too, he doesn't really want.
Now, I will say if you go to
Florida, no.
Okay, I mean, maybe.
He did the same thing with, like, I mean, we all thought Milton was going to play last Saturday, right? I mean, he didn't announce Hooker was going to officially start to what?
I didn't think Milton was going to play last week. I thought you would let him try to rest up.
But he didn't announce it, like, all week.
Right.
All week.
He didn't make it official until Saturday morning.
had them bamboozled Tennessee Tech.
Now, I will say they weren't ready, as you saw on the score. I mean, I will say that if you go to Milton in the swamp and he struggles, then, like, it's over for Milton.
Yeah.
Agree? Like, if he gets benched, he gets benched to go back to Hooker. Now, granted, the first time he didn't technically get benched, he was hurt, but still, he wasn't playing well whenever he made the switch to Hooker. People were excited for the change.
Yep.
He would always start groaning and booing.
Yeah. Can't confirm.
So I feel like if you go back to Milton now and he struggles in the swamp and then you lose the team and you have to go back to Hooker, then that pretty much ends the Joe Milton experience.
Yep. I would agree.
But if you go, if you stay with Hooker and he struggles in the swamp, it seems like that would end his time too whenever you, if you give him this game and he struggles. Like, yep.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'd say that. Tennessee fans know pretty well. Like, we benched JG a lot, and then he would still be coming back out there and starting. So
I also thought he was a head case too, though.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think he left with. I don't think he left as a person with a lot of confidence. I don't think he played like a guy with a lot of confidence last year. Like, sure, there were some times in 2019 where you could bench him and bring him in as a sixth man. He'd make a couple plays, and you're like, okay, he just needs to settle down a little bit. But
yeah.
I think overall, you can't do that with most quarterbacks. There's a reason there aren't six men in football at quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, you typically can't yo-yo a guy, especially when there's already a quarterback battle and you don't want them looking over their shoulder. And
most of them need the rhythm, for sure.
And as we've seen, this fan base can't handle it either. Like, they've already made the cycle through all three guys.
Yeah.
So, like, if any quarterback plays bad, you're going to be wanting the next guy. Then when he plays bad, you're going to be wanting the other guy. And it's just going to be a cycle. Like, this is, you know, pretty much what we said couldn't happen this season at the quarterback position. It's happened.
So let's bring Maurer up from the intramural practice squad.
He's on to bigger and better things, bro. He's making TikToks.
Practice squad. Keep
you guys see his TikTok?
No, he's not.
No, he's not. I don't want to watch that at all.
It was some, like, voiceover, I assume, some movie. I don't know what it was, but it was, like, some, like, guy. Almost it sounds like the voice at the end of Thriller, almost. But it was, like, talking about how at first they cheer you, but what do they like cheer more than cheering you? And it's booing you or something. So, like, it was Maurer had, like, two highlights, like, him spinning away from somebody that I don't even think it, like, led to many more extra yards. And then him sitting with the fans. And then them booing you, and it had, like, three mean tweets that people had sent him. It was like a 10-second TikTok.
Jeez, I hate that guy.
Oh, my God.
And I just saw it. I was like, okay, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone sent it to me. I wasn't, like, on TikTok.
If I was playing in the murals against him, I'd get targeting.
Would you even want him on your team? I feel like
he would be so cocky about it. My gosh.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by The Book at Harris Cherokee. They have three private fan caves. Three private fan caves. And that's the ultimate way to experience game day with your friends. Fan caves offer a massive 85-inch HD TV. Plus, you get two 43-inch 4K TVs. And as always, convenient access to betting stations. Thursday night football tonight. Tennessee, Florida on Saturday. A full NFL slate on Sunday. Now's the time to get up to Harris Cherokee and take advantage of The Book. That line keeps dropping. Tennessee, people feeling the balls. Draven, how you feeling right now on Thursday afternoon?
About the game Saturday?
Well, just, I mean, if you want to tell us about how you're feeling in general, I guess. Anything you want to talk about? You stressed out?
No, I'm doing good. Doing well.
Ready for your work to get back open? Do you feel a little foolish for always wishing that your work was closed, and now you're like, hey, I need some money?
I was going to say a little bit. I need to get back at it.
Did you not try to get your shift gone for the first day back?
We open back up Monday at the Cowboys play. Yeah, I am trying to get off. I'm not going to go to work Monday. I'm not. I'll call in sick. I'll do whatever. I'm not going to miss the Cowboys game Monday. But I am ready to get back to work for sure.
I would have this audio and blackmailing you and sending it to your job.
Probably would. Cam hates me. Cam really does hate me.
So you're like, your job's been closed for 3 weeks and you're going to call out the first day?
Yes. Is that
after you had, like, called out the 2 days before? I mean, I guess you'd be like, I were you, I'd be like, hey, I already requested some vacation days and, like, you know, the store was closed. Like, it doesn't really count as my vacation day. So, like,
that is
go
a good
ahead
point.
And roll over one of these. Like,
that is a good point because, yeah, I requested a week off for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I got that off, and that's when the whole thing shut down. So,
like, I don't really want that to count against my
That's a good point. I might bring that up. Yeah. Bring that up to the owners, yeah.
What time do you guys close on Mondays?
10. No, I'm not. I was gonna say no, not happening. I'm not gonna be there. I'm not gonna be there. Somebody can cover it. Cool. If not, oh well. They're on their own. That's just how it works. I should have requested off earlier, but then again, they've been closed the past couple weeks. Yeah, so hard to request off work when you can't really talk to anybody.
There should be enough people.
Text.
There should be enough people eager to work. There should be enough people eager to work that they won't mind.
You would think.
So how you feeling just about, I guess, about Tennessee, Florida then?
Same as I did yesterday.
Okay.
Same as I did yesterday. I think it'll be a close game, but they're not going to win this game. The more you tell me the spread's coming down, the more other people are starting to get in on it. It makes me doubt it a little bit more, to be honest.
Cam, how are you feeling?
I'm getting into it.
Ball's going to win?
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet. I think it'll be close, though. You know what? I was a Hooker guy all offseason. I need to stick with my boy. I'm going to stick with Hooker and have confidence in him. I'm going to do it. It's going to be a close game. The Alabama-Florida was a fluke.
So you think it was a fluke? I think it was a little bit of a fluke as well. But also, I think, look, this is college.
Yeah, anything can happen.
NFL. Well, anything can happen. But also, like, the emotion matters way more in college mm-hmm. football than it does in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids out there just, you know, playing football with the boys. It can be all over the place. They had a lot of emotion last week. They probably thought they could have it. Now they're probably overlooking Tennessee, just like, it's just Tennessee.
They're filling
them. We play with Bama. Who needs Tennessee? We just play with Bama.
I know their fans feel that way because Dan Mullen's having to beg them to come.
Yep. I mean, yeah, we saw that first quarter. Bama could have just poured it on. I think Bama kind of got a little complacent.
What I will say is that I feel like, to me, one of the biggest factors is last week, Tennessee was kind of in the place that – or excuse me, last week, Florida was in the kind of the place that, like, Tennessee is in this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to Alabama, the Florida game was just kind of another game.
Yeah.
Whereas Florida's like, hey, this is our biggest game on the schedule. This is our chance in front of a national audience. Like, Tennessee is coming in with the same way, like, hey, this Florida game is our chance in front mm-hmm. of a national audience on primetime. This is, you know, kind of our biggest game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Florida's looking at it as just another game. Even more so than Alabama was last week, because at least Alabama was going on the road, and Alabama at least like was like, hey, we got to keep winning for our championship season. Florida, I feel like, has a chance for a big letdown, and it's hard for college kids to get up 2 weeks in a row. It just is.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for the fans to get up 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that Florida team is as good as they looked against Alabama.
Nope.
Yeah, Alabama just kind of let up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously up 21-3, but like, how much of it was that just Bama kind of cruising a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I also think – I mean, I don't want to, like, diminish everything Florida did because they have a really good run defense and a really good run game. So, like, I'm not going to diminish that, but I don't know how good Alabama's defense is supposed to be. Like, I mean, it looked pretty good against Miami, but I think we can tell now that, like, that Miami offense isn't very good. So, like, you know, we kind of thought Alabama was going to take a step back on defense this year. Really, in general, as a whole team. Florida's getting a lot of credit, especially like on the spread, again, to go up all the way up to 20 just because of a good performance against Alabama. That seems like an overreaction. Maybe all this will sound really stupid on Saturday night and Florida just absolutely mollywops Tennessee. That's very possible. Very, very possible.
Let me ask you this. So, no matter which quarterback plays, what do you need from them?
Touchdowns.
I know that, but like to see, maybe not even to pull off an upset, but just to be in the game in the fourth quarter.
Wait for that sweet, sweet Hooker spin move and a juke, and oh, he's up, he's gone up the sidelines. Oh,
but
my
like,
gosh.
Do we need that? Do we need the quarterback to be like unbelievable, rushing, throwing?
Let's
like, do you think that's going to be a necessary
there.
For
Let's
us to be in the game?
Out there. Let's do it.
I mean, I feel like you're just going to have a quarterback that protects the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like every time you're overmatched, especially on the road, like it always comes down to like, that's like the first key. Don't turn the ball over. Like, that seems obvious. Don't turn the ball over. like, if you're Hooker, you do probably need to try to break off a couple of 25-yard runs. If you're Milton, you need to break off a 20-yard run but also hit a deep pass. Like, there have been open receivers for both. Just hit them, bro. And if you're a wide receiver, catch the ball. You know, Josh Heupel has to score some points here. There's a real chance this gets ugly for Josh Heupel if Tennessee doesn't score points and their offense can't pick up first downs and Florida runs the clock and controls the ball for like 42 or 43 of the minutes on this game.
Yep.
And you're looking at a, you know, a 2-to-1 time of possession ratio. That would draw into question like Josh Heupel's whole philosophy and identity. Because they keep going. Like, you see the graphics. They keep talking about, we're so fast. We're the fastest team in the country. We're so fast on offense. We can go even faster. Like, sometimes that ain't good. It's nice to have in your back pocket, but, like, show me that you can do other speeds.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Mix it up a little bit. Slow it down.
That's their thing. That's their game plan. You can't change it up. That's what he's been doing.
Stare in her eyes for a little bit. Bond. Tranquilo. Slow. Put on some different music. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. But seriously, like, if they're getting the ball for 40-something minutes and Tennessee just can't do anything with it and they just get absolutely gashed, like, that's going to, again, be a, like, an identity crisis here. You're going to have a crisis of what we can be under Josh Heupel. There's a lot on the line this weekend, actually, for him. Kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.